This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, 97.1 FM Talk, DGS. Happy Tuesday. Aren't we weird animals? We're just, oh God, we're just so hateable. We're so fickle. At least this animal is. Like, it was so beautiful and sunny for 2 weeks, and then it got sort of chilly, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm ready for this. Let's have fall. A little chilly, a little rain, and this is the second day of it. I'm like, this blows. So sick of the rain and yuck.
That's how we roll.
I wonder if we'll ever see the sun again.
I'm just looking at Twitter. 1 minute ago, the president tweeted, Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes not wearing a mask in the White House after her interview with me. Much more to come. And then it's like a 6-second video of her without a mask talking to people.
Much more to come.
I wonder if there's just going to be like video after video like this. I am so ready. That sounds entertaining as heck. So
yeah, what else did Leslie Stahl do?
I think it's probably all media people.
Yeah.
Not wearing a mask and such.
Which, I don't know. Rach said it yesterday. I am picking it up. I'm in this weird, it's like when I used to play sports, I've always hated the time before the game started. Like, let's just go. Blow the whistle. Let's go. Let's get dirty. But I hated the sitting there and waiting, and that's how I feel about this. Now, I'm super excited about the debate on Thursday. I think that's going to be really interesting. It will be really interesting. It may not be very good, but it will be very interesting. But I'm tired of it. And I'm not tired of it as in, don't talk to me about it. It's just more like, yeah, I know. I know about that poll. Yep, I know. I know that Trump said that. Yep, I know. Hunter Biden. Yep, crack pipe. Got it. Yep, I know. Like, if we didn't have the election in 2 weeks, I think I'd just quit. You know what I mean? Like, just, I'd quit talking about it at all. What I'm sick of is everyone bitching, myself included, and nothing changing. Something's about to change. Someone's about to win or lose. A whole bunch of someones, not just Joe and Donald. There's a whole bunch of seats. The House, the Senate, you know, locally. Things are about to change. I'm ready. I'm ready for something to happen. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One more thing about the president. Last night I was like doing a couple chores and I had Sex and the City on in the background and I heard a very familiar voice. And the president was just randomly on an episode I had playing.
Wow.
He had a little cameo where he was like, all right, I've got to get back to work. Like having drinks with some rich guy that Samantha Funny. Started dating. I'm like, he is in everything.
Yeah. So one of the biggest mysteries, probably the biggest mystery in science, is what is consciousness?
Yep.
Who are we? What is it? Am I my thoughts? Am I a guy behind my thoughts? And the first scientific study that shows some promise just came out. You want me to South Roxana ham-fistedly describe for you what they think it is?
Absolutely.
So there's all matter is energy, basically. But there are like electrons and protons and so forth. And then there are just waves. And in our brain, we've known for quite a while that we have matter. We have electricity going through the little, you know, connections in mm-hmm. the synapse. And I have a little synapse for Phoebe and I have a little synapse for cake. And I think, oh, Phoebe's first birthday cake. Then we have an electromagnetic wave of energy that affects the tissue in our brain. But for decades, we've said that has nothing to do with anything. Now, scientists have published this paper saying that they think that is exactly what consciousness is.
Is that electrical current, that one
spot? No, it's the wave. Because a computer can be built to have all these connections, but it's not sentient. It's not aware. But they say if there is some way to give it this electromagnetic, and I'm explaining it poorly, but there's the combination of the electrical connections that allow you to think and feel and know what a tree is and know that this is your wife and know that this is your uncle and know not to put your hand on a stove, that is what a computer can do. Mm-hmm. But to couple it with this wave of energy that affects your tissue, that's what makes you conscious. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
I love that they were like, that has nothing to do with anything.
For decades.
Well, it's a part of our brains. I would assume it has something to do with something.
They're going to try to... Now somebody's going to try to duplicate it.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll be the thing.
Oh, for sure. And it may not be all that difficult. I mean, we have... I think like you could go to the moon and back, stretching out with all of the things we have connecting in our brains. It's just so thick and dense and massive. That would be very difficult to replicate, but electromagnetic energy going across brain tissue?
So,
not that I've worked on it in my house or anything. I'm just saying, though.
Do plants
have
consciousness?
I mean, you could buy a kit at Target.
It's a great question. It's a great question, and I think it's not one that we can answer dismissively anymore. Because
but humans are considered sentient, though, right?
Again, it depends on your definition.
I thought like the generally accepted
generally,
scientific.
Yes. Generally,
definition.
We have taken religious people because God created us and non-religious people scientifically have just said, well, we're clearly better than chimpanzees. So we're the only animal that has this type of speech, although we're learning more and more that other animals and even trees have a form of communication. So it's just really interesting.
Dave, Dan on Twitter wanted to know where you read that study.
I think the click was
on Intelligencer.
Yes. Hartford Gazette. I think it was on Drudge that led me somewhere else. I could just pop it up.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was. But yeah, really, really interesting. Because that's something I've read a few books on, and people just don't know. I mean, like the smart people, the scientists who study consciousness for their 60-year career get to the end of it and they go, yeah, I don't know either. Here's your gold watch. Thanks for trying. And it drives you crazy when you think about it. Like, right now I'm thinking, I'm looking at Tony's shirt, it's red. Is that me, the guy that thinks that? Or am I the guy behind the guy that thinks that? Because if I'm the guy that thinks that, I'm insane. Because I could be like, Tony's got a red shirt, so is a dog's wiener. Hey, look, it's Mountain Dew. Like, you're thinking just the craziest stuff, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel as crazy as my thoughts.
Or are you just a computer program?
Oh, and there you had to go there. Thanks for that.
I love it when people are like, if you control your thoughts, you control your world. And then I'm like, how do you do that?
No. Yeah.
Like, right. It's so hard.
Thanks.
It's so hard to control your thoughts.
It is.
You have to meditate like every day, and that's hard too.
It is. Have you guys?
I thought you said, if you control your thoughts, you control your.
You like, control
yeah, I'm just
your
trolling
reality.
Myself all day.
Can Andrew find the Troy Aikman, Joe Buck sound, please, from talking about the flyovers? Have you guys heard of this story?
I saw the headline, but I didn't read the story.
Andrew will find it, or Rach. But basically what happened was it's a hot mic moment during Monday Night Football, and there's a flyover, and Joe Buck says something like, well, there's your tax dollars hard at work. And Troy Aikman goes, yeah, what a waste of all that fuel, and that's never going to happen under a Biden-Harris ticket.
I can play it right now.
Thank you.
It's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover. That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work. That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
Now, there are a couple ways to look at it. You could look at it. I think Joe's a pretty liberal guy, so I think that I at least know the way he's looking at it. But you could look at it that they're saying, like, this is so stupid. Stupid Trump spending $500,000 or the NFL or whoever to show off. This is so dumb. Or they could be saying, yeah, kiss this great stuff goodbye because Harris Biden's not going to be doing this cool stuff.
I don't think it's clear which they mean.
The world is reacting as if it was the first one.
Yeah.
They're being accused of mocking the military and stumping for Biden Harris. That's how it's being. And Joe Buck is about to jump into the World Series, and so now it's a thing, and I just wondered how that hit you
guys. But it could have been sarcasm.
Yeah.
They could have been playing around, making fun of people who don't like flyovers, saying, because we don't know the context. We don't know the before, the after. It could have been, they could be.
Thought experiment.
When I hear it, I hear the first thing.
Yeah, let's just say
explain.
That's what it is.
But.
Let's just say that they, should there be any repercussions? Are they just a couple of guys giving their opinion when they didn't think the mic was on?
So that's supposed to be a hot mic moment?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, for sure. They weren't doing that for air.
I mean, I don't really care. I don't think, like, what would they punish them over? Talking to their coworker and not saying anything, like, offensive? I see why some people would be offended by it, but it's not offensive language.
No.
Right.
So
right.
I just don't see how they could possibly
get in trouble. When they say mocking the military, they don't say, look at these idiots flying these planes.
No, not at all.
No.
At worst, they're mocking the Trump administration because they invoke Biden-Harris and say, it's not going to happen under them.
Right.
So at worst, they're doing that.
Yeah. I don't think there should. I don't think anybody should lose their job over something like that. However, it's another, in my opinion, just black eye on the world of sports. Like, sports has been so politicized, and people are so sick of it. And this is just another story of politics bleeding into sports. And why can't I just watch a football game without politics being talked about? So I don't think Joe or Troy did anything wrong, but I think it's more like eye-rolly stuff for people that are so sick of the political discussion being in every aspect of our life.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of people just go, oh, come on.
Let me make a bold prediction. You guys tell me how crazy it is. I don't think sports as we know them, now we could start playing Quidditch or something, but sports as we know them and Hollywood as we have known it have hit their peak. There will be something to replace it, some sort of YouTube or TikTok or streaming or blood sport, but I think football, baseball, hockey, and this MGM production starring so-and-so, I think that's peaked.
I think you could be right.
What do you think, Rach?
It's peaked in what? I'm sorry, I was listening to the sound again.
In the sense that whether it just has ran its course or it's all the politics involved or it's COVID, I'm speaking for myself, couldn't care less about watching a whole sporting event and watch a great deal of online content, movies and such. And would love to go back to the movie someday, but probably won't.
Yeah.
Really? Even when the theaters open, like, you know, James Bond comes out in April.
Sure, I'll go, but I don't think I'll think of it in the same way.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, I'm so done. I feel like I'm waking up from a dream. No, better than that. I feel like I'm waking up from a bad relationship. I have been mistreated, and I'm just now realizing how bad it was. That's how I feel about celebrities and Hollywood and... You suck and we're great. And why don't you give me another, you know, 18 of your dollars, you stupid fool.
Yeah, let me preach to you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm waking up going, why am I doing any of this?
Yeah, let me tell you about all of my social messaging and I think
what happens with sports as you grow up, I can only speak for me and to some extent for men, is you either get really into it. If you're 56, you're probably really super into sports or like me where you're like, I used to be. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was already the guy that was like, oh, yeah, I care if the Cardinals win. And I like playing fantasy.
I think this pushed some people over the line.
I agree.
I think this pushed some people into the, wow, I didn't know that there was so many other things to do on a Sunday afternoon.
Agreed.
And I like it better.
Agreed.
And nobody's telling me what to think or who to vote for. And I can go do this, whatever that activity is, or you know, or do whatever. And I agree. I think a microcosm would be the people were, Major League Baseball fans were really upset when during the strike in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bad news for baseball until
Mark McGwire
and Sammy Sosa. And it kind of captured the country,
mm-hmm.
and it brought a lot of people back to baseball. I think the whole sports landscape is even below, like,
where
whatever
that
level that was, mm-hmm. I think it's even lower. And I don't know what the McGwire-Sosa home run race equivalent would be to bring mm-hmm. people back. I just don't know what,
Yeah.
I don't know, like, there's not anything out there. There's no big compelling.
And I think,
Celtics, Lakers, and NBA finals.
Professional athletes.
No.
Actors, directors, studio heads need to take your cocky down. You know what I mean? You need to be thankful that you get to make a good living doing something that you like that's creative. Because this whole your stuff doesn't stink and there's an award ceremony that we're supposed to watch every 2 weeks. I think we're past that.
You know, we give a lot of trouble on this show to politicians, senators, and congresspeople in saying that, you know, when we were younger, I really thought that you had to be this really impressive person to get into the House of Representatives. And then as you get older, you realize they're just people. And some of them aren't even very smart people. They just kind of got lucky and they kind of got where they were. And like the whole condescension of politicians, once you realize that about them, they're no better than I am.
COVID has really, really revealed a lot of things.
It's done the same to, I think, Hollywood. Because I think we all kind of put up with it and we kind of revered athletes and actors and actresses
and put them
on a pedestal. And now we're like, you're no better than we are. Why are you the ones on
I'm
your high
not
horse
going to
everyone?
Assign blame here, but someone's to blame because this sucks. 7 months ago, it was, hey, look, there's this virus, and it's pretty bad. This is Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's an expert. This is Deborah Birx. This is so-and-so. I'm the president. We're out here every day. Cuomo's doing his thing. I understand things change, but we are clearly not out of the woods, and we could be in for worse. And now it's been months since the president has spoken to the task force. He is calling Fauci an idiot, saying that 500,000 people would be dead already if this. Whoever's fault that is, Trump's, Fauci's, Birx's, all of them, for us, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
That is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. I don't care election. I don't care politics. I don't care. We are still in the middle of a pandemic that could go even farther south. That sucks to have the main medical expert and the president going at each other. You need to get your stuff together.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
3:30 DGS, happy Tuesday. Sad to report that Tony Lewis, the lead singer of The Outfield, died today at the age of 62.
Aw.
Very sad. Great band, great voice. I met him once at the Illinois State Fair, and he was vanishingly small and very polite.
Oh, that's nice, though.
Super, super nice.
Yeah, I had him in the studio a long time ago on an old radio station that doesn't exist anymore, but they were...
Casey?
Yep. super nice dudes. Super cool.
Yeah, the lead guitarist died probably 15 years ago. It's just the drummer now. Mm. So, Rach, I'm not happy that it's happening to you in particular, but I am happy it's happening to someone your age. Gen Z is making you feel old.
Yes. I would like to start out by saying that I love Gen Z. I love their internet trends.
You really do.
I think they're, like, a more emotional. Now, some of them, you know, there's plenty of dumb kids out there, but I think they have, like, a level of emotional intelligence that I would have loved to have seen in my generation. We were all just, like, emo.
I want to come back to that.
Okay. But Generation Z likes to, you know, grab onto things, talk about them on TikTok and such. And there's a YouTuber, her name is Emma Chamberlain, and she recently posted an Instagram photo of her wearing yoga pants, which are, I mean, we all know what yoga pants are. They flared out at the bottom. And the kids nowadays just wear leggings, which obviously go in at your ankle. They're skin tight. Since Emma is a trendsetter, all these girls on TikTok have started buying yoga pants, but they don't call them yoga pants. They're calling them flared leggings. Thank you, Sue. As if yoga pants were not the precursor leggings that everyone wears today. And I'm just like, oh, I feel so old because I remember buying my first pair of yoga pants and being like, these are pretty hot. Like, watch out, world. Like, this is the new trend. And they were around for quite a while, and then everyone switched to leggings. And the kids are so young, they don't even remember the yoga pants. They think they're flared leggings. It just hurt me. It hurt me inside.
I understand. Imagine how I feel about all the past trends.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. I see trends pop back up. Like, early 2000s fashion is really coming back. And a lot of these kids seem to think that they, like, discovered it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, that's what I was wearing when I was, like, 11, 12. And now it's back and people are acting like it's groundbreaking fashion. I'm like, it's actually a little cringy. Like, I like to see it again for nostalgia's sake. But you're not going to be wearing, you know, those platform slide sandals and... 4 or 5 years, they're going to be out again. It's just kind of the way it works.
I love that you're nostalgic for the 2000s.
I know.
Oh, that makes me... It's very sweet, though.
It's a big... I mean, that's a big difference between 17 and 29.
There is.
I've told this story before. When I worked at Glick's, I was 18 or 20, and my manager had a crush on me, and she was 26, and she told me, like, I have a crush on you. And I was like, ma'am.
Oh, gosh, Dave.
It was out of the question. Like, 26? Like,
yeah, it's too much.
Aren't you legally required to be married and have three, you know? But from an 18-year-old perspective, that's really, really old.
Well, think about some of the stuff that did not come back. What is something that has never come back? Parachute pants, Dave. We've not seen them again.
Yeah. It's not over yet.
I'm waiting for JNCO jeans to come back.
Oh, remind me what those are.
Like real, like, ultimate flare, right, Tony? Yeah.
Like 70s?
Bell bottoms times 1,000. They started to flare, like, at the hip.
Whoa.
You guys would know them if you saw them. Let me pull them up.
Yep.
So back to what I wanted to ask you about. Rach, you just said that you think Gen Z is sort of... more emotionally intelligent maybe than your generation and certainly than Tony's or mine or Sue's. Do you think that if that's true, thought experiment, it could be because I was exposed to Brad Wells and Eddie O'Neill and Terry Otwell, my mom and dad, and Happy Days, and these kids are exposed to the world, like drinking out of a fire hose?
I think it's partly that, and I also just think they have so many resources that we didn't have. Like, when I was in middle school, we had the internet, but it was dial-up, and it was on a computer in my family's kitchen, and I didn't, like, go on blogs. I went on, like, the PBS Kids website, and, like, I want to see what Lizzie McGuire is doing on the Disney website, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now they just have...
They're worldly.
Yeah, absolutely. They're worldly, and I think that, and not in every case, there are still plenty of kids out there who are not emotionally intelligent, but I'm impressed with, like, the grasp that particularly, like, some young ladies I've seen having on, like, oh, I would never do this you know, to make myself feel, but they just seem to have a better grasp on mm-hmm. like their own self-image or something.
I hope that's true. Having a 15-year-old daughter, I would think it would almost have to be true because if I go into the gym and I work out for 10 minutes, I'm going to get a lot better results if I go in and work out for an hour. The more heavy stuff, within reason, the more heavy stuff I lift, the better it is for my body compensating and making muscles. And my level of stress and drama in 1974 compared to now with social media was zero. I had nothing. And these kids, it's multiple platforms all the time, every day, day and night, keeping track. What's new? Who's saying this about me? Who's my friend? Who isn't? It just seems to me to make sense that it would exercise muscles that I never exercised. Or even Rach, because she was the tween generation there for technology.
She's an old millennial.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Or even just like, you know, a lot of people don't go to therapy or anything like that until they're well into adulthood. Kids now have they can just look up online, like, or watch a YouTube video. You know, being an old millennial, I wish I would have had YouTube whenever I was a teenager. First of all, I'd be a lot better at doing my makeup because these girls are insane. But just like, you know, sometimes I'm watching a video and I feel like I'm hanging out with my buddies, like the way people feel when they're listening to podcasts and stuff. There's so many ways to connect. If you feel like an outsider, you can find something that connects with you and
100%.
You can kind of find yourself more.
I think overall, social media is a terrible thing. I think it's been a very bad thing, but that it certainly is a good point because speaking for myself, I always felt so weird, and it helped so much to get into junior high and high school and find three or four other weirdos like me. But it was like the pioneers on the Oregon Trail. Now it's just click, 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 and there's a whole community of thousands of people.
Connecting with someone at that level to, like, feel not isolated or alone is definitely a very good thing. But on a whole, do you think it's a good thing that kids at that age are exposed to so many things?
No.
Is it better for them to be
on a whole, I would take it away. On the whole, I would take it away.
Or is it too much for an 11-year-old's brain to try to process?
I think it's too much.
Everything.
But I think that there are good side effects that come from that. But overall, I think I just personally think it's bad, and I wish I would take it away.
Yeah.
Hmm. 50 Cent's endorsing Trump?
He is.
His line was pretty good.
What was it?
What did he say?
I don't want to be 20 Cent.
Come on, that's funny.
He said
very funny.
Yeah, he said 62% tax bracket is not.
How's it going for him?
Is he getting crushed?
I think he's getting crushed. Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, he's getting crushed.
I don't think he cares though.
I don't think he cares.
He is a notorious internet troll.
Is he?
Yeah, he likes to flame people. That's kind of his thing. So I think he can take it when people are like, crushing him.
Yeah, other than like Chrissy Teigen, who has had trouble taking it. When someone's dishing it out on her, it would be pretty nice just being like that. Just not caring. I'm a troll. I'm mean. You want to be mean to me? I love it. Let's go. I'm voting for Trump. I'm black. I don't care. Say what you want. It'd be nice.
It would.
Man, speaking of Trump, The Simpsons are putting out their Treehouse of Horror episode like they always do, and they decided to, for whatever reason, incorporate the president into the episode. So I can play a little clip here if you want.
Yes.
Let's see. I know who I want for all the judges and propositions, but president, that's a stumper. Can I write in Judge Judy?
You're hesitating over president? Dad, by all that's decent, how could you forget everything that's happened the last 4 years?
Oh, not sure what you're talking about.
So then a series of statements begin scrolling across the screen, like, put children in cages, called Mexicans rapists, imitated disabled reporter, called white supremacists fine people, allowed bounties on soldiers, destroyed democracy. So, and the list goes on and on. Those are just a couple. And then when Lisa pops into the voting booth there, this really bothered me for some reason. She was wearing a mask. Like, why is COVID on The Simpsons? Mm. It's so similar to the sports thing for me. Like,
and then she took it off, right?
Like, I didn't
see
her.
She's wearing the mask and then took it off. Maybe, okay. Maybe
I didn't see that.
Right. Yeah.
Just fact that they're incorporating COVID into the show, I'm like, can we not? Can I watch? I mean, I don't really watch The Simpsons anymore, so I guess don't make it for me. But can we not watch a cartoon on a Sunday night without being reminded of the global pandemic?
It goes back to the sports conversation we had at the beginning of the show.
You know what, too? I want to make this point.
I just want to get away from politics sometimes.
The Simpsons, Fox, whoever it is, should be allowed to say anything they want to say. Mm-hmm. My feelings on the president are very out there, very well documented. However, I will say that when I was the age watching The Simpsons, and even like in my 20s, they meant more to me and what they thought than any political pundit. You feel me? So, like, if Conan O'Brien, the head writer of The Simpsons, made a joke about Trump like that, there's 0% chance I'm voting for Trump. Because he's cool, and The Simpsons are cool, and I want to be cool, and I don't care what this guy on the Sunday morning show says.
Wow.
So my point is that's going to matter. I don't know that there is anyone who is planning on voting for Trump, and then they saw that, and they're like, oh, I'm out. But it matters.
I'm just surprised that they made the choice, especially in a Treehouse of Horror episode. Like, to me, that is my personal Treehouse of Horror, is like bringing this horrible year, the election, the pandemic.
You know what? It's almost like having an ID card. If you are in Hollywood, especially if you're in comedy, you better show your I hate Trump ID card.
Yep.
Whether it's SNL or it's Jimmy Kimmel or it's The Simpsons, which I'm fine with, so long as you at least make a swipe. And Joe Biden is one of the most fertile grounds for making fun I've ever seen.
Right.
How are you laying off?
Walking Saturday
how are you laying
Night
off Night. The Biden jokes?
Yes.
So,
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back, guys. Going to talk to Chet Pleven here about a development in the Breonna Taylor case. Hello, Chet.
Hey, Dave. How is everybody?
Good. So as I understand it, the one member of the secret grand jury said, I don't like this. You're not getting the whole story. They did not even ask us if we would do murder charges. This whole thing is wrong and it's a sham and I want to speak out, but he can't because it's secret and anonymous. And now the trial judge has evidently said, no, you can go ahead and speak out and talk to the media, right?
Yeah, go ahead and talk. And obviously, you know that grand jury juror coming forward, he or she has a complaint about which the prosecution handled the proceedings. And specifically, I'm confident that the complaint will be that they were not given a murder charge to consider by way of the indictment. So then what you're going to have probably is now another grand juror coming forward and saying, no, I think this is fine. And I think that we probably shouldn't have been given a murder charge to consider because clearly the prosecution couldn't prove that. And they have the discretion as to what kind of charge they're going to be requesting the grand jury to consider. And if you know, Dave, if you don't have the evidence, you don't have the evidence. I mean, it would be silly for a prosecutor who has the entire benefit of the investigation to present a case, seek an indictment, get the ham sandwich indicted, and then go in the open forum and not be able to prove it. So at the end of the day, explain to me what good this does. So we're going to start what? Another round of talks? Are we going to start another round of protests? And where does this go? And what does this do, frankly, to the defendant who is currently charged? How does that prejudice him this discussion in the media? And you know, from my standpoint, as a criminal defense attorney, as far as I'm concerned, abolish the grand jury. Throw it away. Take it into the public forum. Let's have full disclosure. Let the prosecution put on the evidence in the public domain. Let the defense cross-examine every single witness that they put on the witness stand. And then let the judge, not 12 grand jurors, make the decision about whether or not there's probable cause to believe that a crime has occurred. And then that way, nobody is going to complain. And by the way, the judge, if the prosecution is presenting a case of manslaughter, let's say hypothetically, and the judge doesn't think that there's probable cause to conclude that, the judge says no probable cause, case dismissed, end of discussion. However, if the judge thinks, well, maybe, you know, this is a murder case, the judge doesn't have any authority to say, well, wait a minute, Mr. Prosecutor, stop the music. I think that I'm going to find probable cause on murder. And the prosecutor says, well, wait a minute, I'm not presenting that. I'm presenting a manslaughter case. And so why would a grand juror be any different and have any more authority to say that or to do that than an actual judge who wears the bad robes?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of damage could be done by this, because if the juror comes out and says, oh, Breonna Taylor was straight up murdered, we all thought she was murdered, and they just didn't give us a chance, they just wanted to whitewash it, that's a pretty good reason to get out there and protest again.
Well, no question about it. But here's the flip side of it, too. What precedent does this set? So let's say that I've got a guy, and let's say that I've got a guy that was charged with murder by a grand jury, juror. So then I can get a grand jury. Then I can go to the grand jurors. And I just wonder, frankly, how much of Breonna Taylor's lawyer, the family lawyer, went to this grand juror, because it's a crime to talk about the secret proceedings. So I wonder how much of the conversation this lawyer had with this particular grand juror. But in any event, so then does that mean if my client starts with murder, I can go solicit an opinion from other grand jurors to say, no, I don't think that was the correct decision. You know, and so,
yeah.
So what door does this open at the end of the day?
Very good. Thanks,
it's just not a good precedent. You bet.
Appreciate you explaining it. Quick break right back. DGS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.